Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen. With me today is Debbie G of Spirituality Gone Wild. This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today. Actually, it's not Debbie G, because unfortunately she's on the road today, but that's all right. We've got a last-minute substitute, someone who visited us about a week ago. Her friend and associate, Kathy Mason, is going to be joining us in just a moment, and we're going to talk about vision boards, which we haven't actually talked about here on the show for quite some time, so that's going to be good. But let's see. I think Debbie's just about ready. Kathy's just about ready, so let me see if I can bring her on here. There she is. Hey, how you doing?
Hi. I just saw the cat wagging its tail.
I know. He has to join me for half the shows. You know, I think I have a contract with him for what it is.
He's looking at you, and his rear end is this.
Well, he's also chewing on paper right now, which is his way of saying, oh, no, you got to be paying attention to me. What are you paying attention to all these people for? You should be paying attention to the black cat. Come on.
Of course. It's perfect. Well, the reason why I suggested to do something about vision boards is that I got to teach a class for Tamara Overitt's new mastermind class that it's Love Your Life or Live Your Life. And and it was really fun. So I created a PDF, which I'll have to find the link. I was scrambling to find
it. That's right. Pull out it later.
So we can share it.
Yeah.
But the idea was to show you some ideas of how to do vision boards, because basically what we're doing is we're just making clear choices of what we want to manifest.
Yes.
By doing a vision board. And then by doing it in physical, somehow it does something different. Stuart. Oops. Sorry. My client from England. Too bad. Sorry. Okay. So, one of the things that is really cool about the whole process is that you get to really look at your life in a way that really helps you decide what you want. And I pulled out this book, which is, I don't know if you're familiar with this.
Michael Osher.
Do you know it?
I know the name. I don't really know him, no, but.
Well, I was in a book club with Grandmother Parisha, who's a Cherokee elder, and she talked him into being in our book club with us.
Nice.
And so, and it was on a radio. It was on a radio show. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. So anyway, one of the things about his book that I thought was really good, and I did a version of this in that free PDF that I'm giving people.
Okay.
Clarity through contrast. So basically what he's saying is, you know, a lot of times you know what you don't want.
Well, sure. That's where it all starts. that's what the whole purpose of contrast is in polarity, right? You start off knowing what you don't want, and that gives you the clue about what it is you do want.
Well, okay. So law of attraction, I don't think yearning is supposed to be part of it. So, or I think that, you know, you decide what you want and then you put it down into physical and then you let it go, right? It's not really about, and contrast brings up emotions usually.
Yes.
So I was surprised about this, but it works. So, like in this one, Clarity Through Contrast worksheet, Janice, my ideal relationship. The things I don't like are number one, controlling. And then on the other side, it says clarity, things I do like is flexible and well balanced.
Okay.
Right. So, but you kind of have to go to the dark side, you know, I don't know if you can see any of this, but
a little bit.
Cause they crossed it out. But the idea is, you know, what don't you want versus what you do want? So I'm not sure I love this, but it does work. It works really well and it's fast. It's
cool.
A lot faster than, I don't know if you've ever done coaching processes where people put you through an assessment and it's a big circle and it's your your relationships, your job, your hobbies, you know, it has all these different pie pieces of a big round chart. Mm-hmm. And then you see where you're weakest, you know, where you need your help with. And that's where the coach helps you with. So it's like if your diet or exercise side is really bad, if it's like this big.
Yeah, right.
But anyway.
Which so, I think a lot of people could probably identify with. I mean, that's not exactly out of the norm, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think what happens is that whatever process you use to get clear about what part of your life that you'd like to upgrade, mm-hmm. it's fine. He uses this contrast. The other thing I've done a lot of times is done these mandalas.
Oh, pretty.
Where for New Year's Day, it's a tradition at my house. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I have sparkly glue and everything I put on it. And so it doesn't really have the long sentence. It just says projects. Mine says clients, projects, travel, health, prosperity, joy, family, friends, and in the middle it says love.
Okay.
And then I have it on the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. This is a vision board, mm-hmm. and it's in a real, real form. And then the other way that lots of people do it is with magazines, where you put the
right.
Whole, there's an X-rated picture in here.
Well, it's okay. It's a podcast. Most people can't see it anyway, so you're all right.
Now you want to see.
See, this is why you want to tune into the live stream, guys. This is where the fun part starts to happen around here. Yeah. I mean, geez.
Well, when Tamara and I did this, she had manifested the love of her life, and they're living in Mexico on a beachfront home. They've all got right. Age service. She's got it all figured out. And what our thing that we did was to identify what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has a way to clear what's holding it away from you.
Okay.
Holding it back from you, because we're creating our own reality and we don't know what's the block. You know, if we say we want something. So what we did for that class was we talked about how to make, and how people do their best vision boards. And a lot of people like use a bulletin board and cut out phrases or go online and find digital pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then just cut them out and put them on the bulletin board, and then that way it's just there. Right. Some people print out or find magazines, which isn't as easy now to do as it was.
Yeah, because there aren't that many anymore. It's all digital now, right?
And it's also, you know, if everybody's doesn't want used things.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but mine is it. I want to go to Italy. This beautiful mountain home there with a beautiful view.
Nice.
I want a new Subaru Forester. I have space and explore space because I just love all this ET stuff, and I would love to know more about all of that and our origins.
So are you one of those people who wants to make the trip to Mars? Because a lot of people have signed up for that.
No, I think I'm connected to some other beings.
Oh, okay. So something a little bit more, a little less Elon Musk and a little bit more woo-woo is what we're saying here.
Well, you asked.
I did. Absolutely. I didn't ask, you know, surreptitiously. This is a serious question.
Yeah. Okay. Well, serious question is, I'm not sure that Mars would be my first place to go. Because I don't think there's beachfront or anything.
Well, it's all one gigantic beach. The problem is there's no ocean front.
Well,
and it's a little cold in the summer, you know. So.
and your clothes get all red, brown.
Yeah, all that clay just does.
Yeah, you can't find the right outfits.
It doesn't work with the outfits. No. You won't see a lot of Sports Illustrated shoots there. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. No, just do it. Do what? Okay, so you'd have to go underground. So anyway, so I have experience a higher standard of living.
Nice.
I have guidance with wisdom, strength, and peace of mind.
Okay.
I have Italy. I used to live in Italy. I speak Italian.
You did? Oh.
I went to school there 5 different times. From
wow.
One of my degrees is Italian. So I have Florence, which is, I lived in Florence for a year with a countess and her daughter. Ooh. I went to college there. So I've got that on there. So I've got some money stuff, millions of dollars. Okay. Cool. So, and I have a Get Fit. There's a picture of supposedly me doing yoga.
Okay.
Anyway, bold new you, as it says. Okay, so anyway, so these were magazine pictures that I found and just pasted together. So this is kind of a typical
when
you see people say doing a vision board. This is kind of typical. Now, when I did the research for this class, I found that there's digital ones now.
Oh, sure.
There's programs. There's an app you can have on your phone. And let me find it real quick in here.
So that's what a lot of like Pinterest, for instance, is kind of like a very big vision board, really. You think about it, that's really what that's all about.
Yes, yes.
And indeed, most of the social media, you can share photos all over the place. And, many of them, they'll group them together. Well, how is that different from a vision board? It's basically the same thing. So every reason to use digital.
Okay, so this one is called, this is actually a online thing that's just for vision boards.
Okay.
And it's called dreamitalive.com.
Dream it alive. Okay.
And it's free. And you get to set it up. And then Jack Canfield, who we all know from Chicken Soup of the Soul.
Right.
He actually has a success vision board app for the iPad. So,
cool.
and you mentioned Pinterest, which I think is perfect because it is a bulletin board.
Basically, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Right. But I don't know how private that is, because I think what they're really suggesting is that you have it, you make your intention, and then you sort of have it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I have post-it notes right here and, with my stuff on it.
Right.
And it's a little cluttery. I interviewed this really cool lady yesterday on my Conscious Business Zone show.
Right.
Melissa Capriccio. Anyway, I don't know why I have a hard time with her last name. But anyway, she did a thing called Postcards to the Universe.
Nice.
And you can go to it's postcardstotheuniverse.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make your postcard. So it's like I'd make this, but I'd add other stuff to it. And I have to send it to her.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So a part of the activation of it on its way to you
is
really letting go. So it's not on my refrigerator anymore. It's hers. And she's actually created books. She's a professional photographer and she creates books with these postcards. She's on her second. She already has one out on Amazon and she has another one she's almost done with.
Uh-huh.
Where people have sent her the postcards and then she writes up the story of what happens. And she said invariably it comes in like right away. As soon as you send it.
That's nice. That's really nice.
Isn't it cool? So it's clever. It's really different. Different.
We've been doing some experiments on the Wednesday show. Monique Scott and Cindy Chavez and I have been doing them. And we did an experiment. These are based on the E² and E³ books by Pam Grout. And we did one of them where it was basically just a kind of a straightforward ask. We're going to ask for something. So each one of us came up with an ask, and we set the timeline the same way that Pam suggests in her book. So we set it 48 hours, and we were amazed not only that all three of us got what we wanted, but how quickly we got them. I mean, I got mine literally within the hour after I finished the podcast. That's how quick it was. Now, what I was asking for was somebody to contact me out of the blue to be a guest on the show. And it was David Strickle who contacted me, and he ended up being on the show this past Tuesday. But the point is, it happened really, really quickly. The other thing that was really funny, I've been mentioning this the last couple of days, Cindy had asked for a contact from somebody that she hadn't been in contact with for like 10 years or something like that. And she got exactly that. And you know what her reaction was? Her reaction was, oh, that one doesn't count.
Why?
And then she went a few days like waiting for the next one to come. Then she finally said, why am I not accepting that? It counts perfectly well.
Well, so she wanted double proof.
I guess. Yeah. I'm not really sure. But, but what I do know is that it came quickly. So certainly, you know, I mean, that's what the idea of the vision board is a way to help you focus in very specifically on the key elements that you're putting onto your board. And so it makes total sense. If you're really focused as you're doing this, if you're not just kind of doing it haphazardly, you have to have some intention while you're doing the board, right? Because otherwise you're not really getting the value out of it.
Well, I think that the thing that I would suggest is delight.
Where, oh, yes.
Where you're experiencing the delight that it would be to do or have. I would love to have a new Subaru Forester.
Mm-hmm.
It can be pre-owned, but new to me. I'd love to have one.
Jeffrey agreed with you, by the way. He wants to have a Forester too. I'm just mentioning.
Okay, what color do you want, Jeffrey?
Yeah, tell us what color you want. Absolutely. Gotta be specific.
Well, yeah. And so, the whole idea is that you get clear. And I do think clarity is the key to all of it. I think that, and I find that even in everything I do in my job, in my work, in my business, is that if I can get somebody clear, the energy path to it landing and to be here in Earthland is pretty, pretty sure. Pretty sure.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I like the mandala-like vision board that you created.
Uh-huh.
It reminds me of the Abraham Hicks concept of the focus wheel, because you have the little messages going around it. I was wondering if that influenced, the Abraham Hicks concept influenced you on that.
No, I don't know. I think I went to a party, a New Year's party, probably 15 years ago, and a bunch of us, you can get these images online for free. And we just printed out a whole bunch, and this is just on regular paper. I usually do it on thicker paper, and then put the sparkly glue and everything. So you spend, again, it's that intention and that clarity. You spend a long time, if you only have so many places to fill in names or desires, then you really are clear which are the top priority. But I think again, anytime you do this and you make it fun, like it's social. We're sitting around the dining room table.
Right.
With the magic markers and the crayons and the colored pencils and, spending probably 10 minutes, 20 minutes at the moment doing that. And a lot of times they're much more detailed and there's stuff all around them. And so that might be more like a focus wheel if there's more stuff around them.
Well, I don't think it has to have a whole lot of stuff. I think it just made me make the association because you did have words going around the center and in the focus of it, in the center of the thing was love. So basically they were all variations of the idea of love. That's very focus wheel like. Because the focus wheel is about, usually the focus wheel is intending a particular thing. So the thing goes in the middle or the experience goes in the middle. But it's the same basic concept. You got one thing you're focused on and a bunch of stuff that kind of surrounds it, kind of like stars around a, well, not stars, but like plants around a star. Let's put it that way.
You know,
it's kind of revolving around it. So that's what made me think of that.
Well, So when you did E Squared, I got to watch that show, and I was, I've never heard of those books. So I was, I was on Amazon trying to see if I could get them. And I don't know if E Squared 2 is better than E Squared 3, what you think about it. But is that the best way you found to create a vision, create a manifestation?
Oh, I don't know if it, I'm not sure what the best way is. The best way is whichever one works. That's, I mean, I don't have a particular favorite, you know.
You don't?
Not really, no.
Why not?
No. Because there are a lot of ways that work, you know. So
tell us some of the ways that work that you've seen work. I mean, you have a PhD in law of attraction.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but.
Well, really, seriously, look at how many shows you've done.
That's true. I've done a lot of shows. Yeah. But that just shows how many great guests I bring on. That really, that's where I've gotten most of it from. So if anything, I got to give them the PhD. But, no, I mean, I know that there are a lot of ways to do this kind of stuff. I kind of piecemeal it based on whatever it is I'm asking for. For instance, somebody asked on Facebook about, could anyone share any manifestation stories regarding health? And I had a few stories that I could share. One of them actually involves my wife. My wife in 2018 was diagnosed with Graves' disease, otherwise known as hyperthyroidism. And it really hit her pretty bad. She was hospitalized and everything. After they kind of got her stabilized with the medications, the endocrinologist told her that because they kept increasing the dosage in order to get her stabilized, and she was getting to a pretty high dosage. And he said, at first, I thought maybe it might have a chance you'd be able to get off this, but now I'm 100% sure you're going to be on medication the rest of your life. You should probably consider the surgery or the, you know, where they chemically burn out the thyroid and that kind of thing. And every time he said all that kind of stuff, we would nod up and down, and then we'd leave the office, look at each other and say, yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah.
And we were determined, she was particularly determined to use what we understand about being a deliberate creator to change that outcome. Well, he kept telling us that visit after visit, you're going to be on this for the rest of your life. You're going to have to make a decision about what to do with this. And every time we'd nod and every time we'd leave and say, yeah, that's not happening. And she just kept spending large amounts of time. Now, she is semi-retired at this point. I mean, we do have this gardening business that we run together. I do most of the operations now. She's pretty much retired, although she does, you know, her name's on the business, Gardens by Louise. So, you know, she's going to be a part of it. But for the most part, she's out of it. So she spends a large part of her day, like, looking at, you know, funny YouTube videos or, you know, just looking at a lot. I mean, she also watches, everybody watches junk, and she watches some junk too, but she spends a lot of time focusing her attention on stuff that feels good to her. And she's done a lot of that over the last couple of years. Well, this past January, over the last year or so, the endocrinologist had been decreasing the dose. And by December, she was down to the minimum dosage every day. What? By January, got the blood test, and he said to her, I want you to try to go to the minimum dose every other day. And I want you to do that for 6 weeks. And then I want you to go 2 weeks without it. And then we'll test your blood again and see where you're at. That completed in the end of March, early April. I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was a few weeks ago. And she got the blood work done after having stopped for 2 weeks. She was feeling fine. We waited and waited, heard from the doctor's office, and they didn't actually say you don't ever have to do this again. They said, we're going to just leave you off it for 3 months and we're going to test your blood again. I think they're kind of hanging on to the old diagnosis a bit there, you know, but no, we didn't do that. So there's an example of it. And so how did she do it? She did it by watching videos. Now, I also had an instance where I don't know exactly how I did this, but I injured both of my knees.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure that it involved pulled ligaments. I never had it medically checked, so I can't tell you 100% sure that's what it was. But, you know, you check things out on WebMD and that kind of thing. And yeah, I was pretty sure that's what it was. I could just tell. I could tell from where the pain was. I mean, it was ligaments. It was pretty clear that it was ligaments. I could even tell you which ones they were because they have four of them across the knee. I knew which ones it was. And I suffered for a few months at that. It got to the point where I first injured them both in February of, God, I think it was 2018. 2018 was a heck of a year, let me tell you. And then by May, I was in agony. I could barely move. I could barely walk. And all of the documentation that you can find at public health sites talks about how when you have a ligament injury, it takes 6 to 12 months to heal. So you're just in for the long haul.
Wow.
Well, I was laying down one day because I was in so much pain. And even laying down, my left knee was in pain. My right knee had kind of was calm if I was lying down, but my left knee was still, it was that chronic type of pain, right? Oh. And then I remembered, wait a minute, I do a podcast on the law of attraction. Why hadn't I thought of this before? I should be actually applying the power of my mind to heal this stuff. I shouldn't be waiting 6 to 12 months.
Right.
But it is hard when you've got chronic pain and it's yeah. there, no matter you're trying to imagine it away. And sorry, it's still there. And so it's not easy to do. But I did have that one knee that as long as I was lying down, and if I had the knees iced, because that helped to bring a lot of the pain down, then the right knee would actually feel normal lying down as long as I wasn't working it, as long as I wasn't doing anything. So I spent a lot of time focused that particular day in May on my right knee, just feeling how good it felt. And imagining to myself, this is the way that knee always feels. Doesn't matter what I could do deep knee bends and my knee feels this way. And I just kept going back to how it felt because it felt really good as long as I was lying down. And I stayed on that knee for, probably 10, 15 minutes, something like that. And then I said, okay, now we got to go for the tough one. Now I have to go for the left knee. And with the left knee, I used an old trick that I had previously used to remove a cyst from my left pinky finger. I recognized that my right pinky finger didn't have a cyst on it, so I started imagining that my left pinky was like my right pinky. It looked just like it. It looked clean and healthy. So I did the same thing with my knees. I tried to get myself to imagine that my left knee felt like my right knee. Well, my left knee disagreed with me. It kept telling me, no, I hurt a lot.
That's not nice.
So it took some doing. I mean, I had to work it. You're not supposed to normally work it. I had to work it just enough so that I could actually convince myself that my left knee didn't hurt. Uh-huh. And after working on it for about 10 or 15 minutes, I finally got, I'll call it a split second. I don't think it was even a full second. But during that split second, the pain disappeared. And then it came back. I said, ooh, I wonder if I can do it again. Meanwhile, I'm exhausted. I'm panting with, because all the work I was doing, right? I tried again, and a few minutes later, got the same result again. And then I was exhausted. I mean, literally, I had to go to sleep. I had to take a nap because I'd been working so hard on it. Woke up, and it was better. And so I started doing this for the next few days. Do you know, Kathy, within 1 week, both knees were 95% gone, all the pain. And today, I can actually do full deep knee bends.
Wow.
I mean, there are people with healthy knees who can't do that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that on one of my teeth. I'm listening. I'm going to do that tonight.
I mean, I could have done a vision board, but for me, just because of who I know about myself, what I know about myself, I know who I am. I needed something that goes directly to it. That's just who I am. I need to go right after it. And that may not be you. That may not be everybody listening in, but that's who I am. So I did it my way for that. That's what I mean when I say I don't have a particular method. It's whatever is appropriate for whatever it is I'm trying to do. And there are some things I have not been successful at. So I guess I haven't found the right method yet. Maybe I'll try a vision board for a couple of
them. No, or maybe, it's supposed to be there for a little while. I mean, that's what you have to assume, that there is a divine order of everything, even though we may not know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is benevolent and everything, all is well.
Mm-hmm.
And some things take longer than others.
They just do. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Yeah. But I'm going to try that. I'm going to try it. I have to say, law of attraction, the thing that I use the most out of everything is that gratitude. It's just so easy right before you go to sleep to have a whole slug of things you're grateful for. And what first thing you wake up, you have a whole slug of things you're grateful for. And that seems to change the vibration of my day right away.
I'll tell you what I've been working on lately. Listeners who've been listening for a long time know that I've been working on getting the numbers up, and they had been growing nicely. They kind of plateaued over the last few months, but they had been growing nicely for quite some time. But right now we get about 600 to 700 listeners on an episode, which is good. I'm not going to complain about that. But I want to be up into the 10,000s. Let's be perfectly honest.
Yeah, of course.
So that's the goal for this year, is to get into the 10,000s. And that's what I've been focusing on while going to sleep. I've been, and also when I'm waking up too, I'm doing it both ways. But I've been imagining that I had 10,000 listeners and trying to imagine, okay, well, what does that feel like? What does it feel like to have 10,000 listeners? And then I asked myself, well, what does it feel like to have 600 or 700 listeners? And I said, I don't know. I've got them and I still don't know how it feels. I enjoy it, you know, but.
Same thing though, until it isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So part of the exercise is just kind of getting in touch with what it really feels like. It's because it's not like I don't know. I mean, I do this podcast, right? So I do know. It's just, I never really thought about it. I like what Jeffrey's saying too. He says celebrating 600. Absolutely. I believe in that. Yeah. Thank you, 600. I appreciate it.
I think that's what all of this is the gratitude and celebration of it first, because it's the joy, in my opinion, that brings all of it in.
Oh, yes.
Because and the anger and everything brings that other stuff in.
Oh, yes.
The fear brings in something too. It's not what we wanted.
Annoyingly so, I might add. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's just part of it. That's part of the growth process. It's part of the experimental process, and it's part of the experiential process. It's all of it.
Right. Well, so do you ever journal at all, or is this all, you know, I'm thinking about it?
I tried journaling for a while. And when I say a while, when I first tried it, I tried it for about 30 seconds. I said, no, I just don't know this.
30 seconds.
Well, see, the problem is, first of all, I never had really good handwriting. And second of all, I never had good pen skills. So I cramp up really easily because I grip that pen like crazy. I mean, when the computer came along and it had the keyboard, I was loving it. I didn't have to write with a pen anymore.
Yeah.
You know? So the idea of sitting down and journaling is actually a little bit painful for me. And that's, I think that's probably the main reason why I haven't really bought into it. Now, having said that, I mentioned that we're doing the experiments on Wednesday. The experiment that we started this past Wednesday is a 48-hour experiment where we just keep track of all of the good things that happen in the day, things that are kind, light, beautiful, abundant, all that kind of stuff. And Jeffrey, just throwing up the compliments here. I got to put that up on screen. He says, you're doing a great job having fun and providing valuable and interesting points of view and information. Thank you so much, Jeffrey. See, that's the kind of listener that I think about when I think about who the listeners are and what it feels like. So thank you, Jeffrey, for the reminder. That's great.
Yeah, if you help just one person, that's the key, right?
And, well, he just helped me just now.
Yes.
So there you go. There's an example of it.
Yeah,
I mean, I forgot what my train of thought was going, saying there. What was I saying?
Well, you were originally talking about the size of the listener list.
Yeah. And I was just going off on a point and I don't remember what the point is. So I'll have to come back to it.
Oh, well, you were talking also about the experiment of.
Oh, the experiment. Right. Yes. It's basically a gratitude experiment, keeping track of what, you know, everything that you can identify during a 48-hour period, that is a good thing, that is beautiful, that is, you know, maybe it's something you're seeing that somebody else is doing, whatever. And that's been a good experience for two reasons. First of all, it is a form of journaling the way I'm doing it, because I'm writing down what each of them is, you know, so it's a very limited form, but it's a form of journaling. The second thing that's really good about it is a way of going through the day and literally reminding yourself to constantly be on the lookout for the good things that happen. Because otherwise they slip right by. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They just slide right by and you just say, goodbye. All right, we're done. You know, and you lose the value of them. Because you said, the value is in the celebration, right?
Yeah. Don't you think that we're kind of conditioned that way where we look for the things we don't want? I think it's our
perception
mode. And not the other stuff is like, oh, okay. So like you were just loving on your cat. My cat is over there, one of them. Is over there, and I just look at her, you know, she's a love bug, she's a fur bunny, baby. But you know, to cherish those moments so you have more of them.
Exactly.
Right?
And by the way, our cats were like at least two or three items on my list so far.
Oh.
From different times that I appreciated them in the last 48 hours.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool.
But it's really effective to do the writing. That's where the journal, I think we were originally addressing was the journaling thing. Now I wasn't doing full scale sentences. I was just writing down, did this, did that.
Oh, so you're not typing it.
I was enduring the pain of writing with a pen.
Okay. So you can change that too, you know?
Oh, sure. Yeah. But yeah. I figured the way I'm looking at it is, I'm making a joke about it right now. The way I'm looking at it is, hey, I'm actually writing with a pen. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's new, you know.
That's so cool. So I wanted to share another thing that I've done before. I'm not doing it right this second, but I've done mm-hmm. before that works. That's a law of attraction thing. Mm-hmm. That Jesse Elder is a very high-end, high-energy coach.
Okay.
He taught, and I forget what the name of the course was that I took with him. He taught that you write down what you want on a piece of paper and put it under your pillow and read every night before you go to sleep.
Okay.
And, again, you kind of forget about it, which is, I think part of the magic sauce of all of this is you kind of forget about it.
That helps. That's how you let go of the stuff you don't really want to hang on to. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, and that seemed to work really fast.
Mm.
And really, really like, because there's a thing. Have you heard of the one command? Have I asked you this before?
Okay. I don't recognize it.
It's a woman's name. Her name is Asara Lovejoy.
Okay.
And he wrote this book called The One Command.
Okay.
And the one command is, I don't know how this thing's going to happen. Oh, I'm going to get a pre-owned new Subaru. I only know that I am. And it feels so good. And I forget what the last part is. The last thing. I don't know how. I only know da-da-da-da. And it feels so good. So okay. You go to the feel good at the end
right.
of it.
Because that's the important part that you're trying to get to anyway.
But it's also that you make a statement and before your mind can go, that's not true. You say, I don't know how.
Right. Yeah. That's the idea that Mike Dooley, who was in The Secret, he calls it the horrible hows. You want to stay away from those horrible hows. They just get in the way and they make things really miserable. So I can see why she would want to make that the first part. I don't know how. I'm going to leave that part behind. I'm going to just, no, that's not part of my responsibility.
Well,
all I have to do is focus and feel.
Yeah, I always wondered, like in tapping and some of the healing modalities, they'll have you say, even though my head hurts, blah, 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 and then you're tapping in your
head. I never quite understood that one either, to be honest.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like we're supposed to. Aren't we supposed to say what we want to produce?
Yeah, that sounds more like you're anchoring the thing you don't want.
Yeah, so I don't know how that works. But anyway, the one.
Well, I think we do know how it works. We just don't want to say it because we're too polite. But yes, I understand what you mean.
No, I think it seems like it's when I think that what happens is that once people get a modality, There, it might have started actually from an ancient teaching where you acupressure, where you touch here and then you breathe out.
Right.
And, it may have been ancient knowledge.
Could be.
That's repackaged.
Yeah.
But I just never, and it made sense. The tapping, you know, of hey, wake up.
Yeah.
Hey, wake up. You're not welcome here. but to claim it is what I didn't understand.
Well, I think the other thing that I try to remember too, it's very easy for us to get hung up on the words. I mean, Cindy Chavez likes to say, and other people have said, words have power. And it's true. Words do have power. But I also think it's important to remember where the power comes from. The power comes from the thought behind the words and the feeling behind the words.
Right.
So if I say to you, I love apples, that has an entirely different feel from, oh, I love apples. It's the same words, but two entirely different feelings associated with it. So really what it comes down to is if I am saying any phrase at all, how do I feel as I'm saying it?
Right.
If I'm feeling resistant while I'm saying, I'm so confident. I'm so confident. I'm so confident. You know, what does that tell the universe? I mean, first of all, it's a mixed message. Second of all, the universe doesn't hear the words anyway. The universe hears the feeling. So all the universe hears is...
Right. Anxiousness, not excitement.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's why I'm sorry. I'm the Debbie substitute, because her excitement and her enthusiasm is hard to match in any way. I mean,
well, I'm not sorry at all that you're the Debbie substitute. First of all, I want to make sure that I make that very clear.
Oh, thank you.
Second of all, I don't think there are that many people on the face of the planet who can match the Debbie level of excitement. Let's be perfectly blunt about that one too. I mean, they actually invented a scale. It's called the Debbie scale. And, you know, most people are like, you know, 20%, 30%, 40%. Only one person is at 100% on the Debbie scale.
Okay.
So, you know, we really need to make sure we're clear about it.
So there's a wall scale too, and there's
a wall scale, yes.
100% on the wall scale. That's perfect. That's perfect. So what part of scale are you right now?
That's right, yeah.
That's a funny thing to do too.
It's funny. You know what? There's truth to it though. And it's true for anybody, because everybody has their own scale. What is, I think, the best way to remain mindful, to be in the now, that kind of thing, is to know your own scale. Where is your high? Well, how, you know how high your high is. You know how low your low is. So there's your scale. Where are you on your scale?
Okay. So can I add another fun thing then?
Sure.
Okay. So, I just love Tamara Oviatt, and she stayed at my house for 3 weeks, like in 2014 or 16.
Okay.
And we left the whole 3 weeks. I mean,
good.
When you have a guest for 3 weeks, that's a long time.
That's a long time. Yeah. This is what we call a mega manifestation period.
Yeah. Well, it's either really good or not good.
Well, that's
really
true.
Fun. Really, really fun. So, and we're still real good friends. Anyway, she has this thing that she, in order to get people to this high energy state, she sings this thing, and it's happy, happy, joy, joy.
Oh, okay.
And I'll sing it. I'm sorry for you, but here.
No apology necessary.
So it's happy, happy, joy, 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 happy, 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 joy, joy. And what happens is, mm-hmm. you sing it, you burst out laughing because
sure.
you're singing it.
Yeah.
And so you may start out happy, happy. You may, but it does change your state. So,
mm-hmm.
So I did that class with her on a week ago Wednesday. Then the next Wednesday, she came back and did more clearings for everybody for their vision board. And mm-hmm. it could have just been a list. It didn't have to be a vision board.
Right.
But anyway, that's what she did. And she lives in Mexico.
Oh.
And in the Yucatan, and her mm-hmm. electricity went off. And there's all these people on, it's early in the morning, and people from all over the world were on, a lot of people from Europe.
Nice.
And what happened was the Zoom was still running mm-hmm. while she was.
One of those moments.
Wherever she went. And they all started singing happy, happy, joy, joy.
Oh, no kidding.
And I wasn't on it live. I watched the replay, but I almost started crying because that she gave that gift.
Right.
Freely to all these people, and they got it. And while they were waiting, it was a couple minutes.
And they put it to use.
And they were having a blast. They're all laughing, but giggling laughing.
Right, right, right.
You feel like an idiot in a lot of ways. A good idiot. But anyway, but happy, happy, joy, joy.
That is so cool. That's really good.
And so I think they edited that part out when they published it for the public. But I got to see that. I don't know if even my copy, the link that I have to YouTube, but I almost was crying. It was
You got the best part is what you got. Really? I mean, I'm not sure the rest of the show was great, but you got the best part right there.
It was. The whole thing was great. But the fact that people choose that, that's the deal right now. And that's what this is too, is like focusing on what I want and what gives me joy versus the other. That's the key to all of this.
Now, I wanted to ask you something else about, because you were the one who wanted to talk about vision boards, and I thought it was a great idea when you brought it up. The first thing that cued in my mind is what I do for a vision board, because
okay.
I don't do a static board. I do video. I have this, it's like an 8 minute long video that I piece together. A lot of it is from stock photography, stock video, some stuff that I found on YouTube that I piece together. And it basically is three, it's focusing on three ideas. The first one is
building the audience. So I actually have an audience that's applauding. It's a great thing to look at when you're trying to build an audience, let me tell you.
Oh, that's cool.
Great for the ego too, to watch that every day. Second thing that I have is some video from a contractor from a model home that was based on what he was trying to sell. And it had a lot of the elements my wife and I want for our ideal home. So that's my second video. The third video is a bunch of scenes from Hawaii, because that's one of our favorite destinations that we want to get to. And then I found some music that I like that I put underneath. And I'm good at putting videos together. So I made this I call it a vision video. And I watch it every day, or almost every day. I'm just curious to know, what do you think of that in terms of vision boards?
Of course. I don't think that there's one way to do any of it. It's more about the habit of focusing on what you want.
Yeah.
Because again, everyone is going through lots of life changes right now.
Yes.
Everyone is. And we have a choice of showing up in a positive way or to join the complainers crowd.
Yes. Lots of opportunity for that. You know, all
there
kinds
is,
of job openings.
Well, I don't think people realized it and saw it as much as they do now before we had this shutdown. Because I think before it was just people were in their phones and their devices doing this. And it's like, oh, how do I speed up everything even more than I've already sped it up? And then all of a sudden, you had a chance to really think about what's your legacy? What's your life? What do you really want? What makes a difference in the world? What are your values? You got to think about all the things that you may not have taken the time to do before.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's like anything else. How are we going to deal with and even ideally appreciate what it is that we're going through? Now, a lot of people went through the last year, particularly 2020, shaking their fists saying, oh, God, it's the worst year on record. You know, I hope why can't they just do a replay on this year? You know, I can't wait for next year. You know, that's where you saw it all the time. A lot of people were saying that. They were saying it on social media. You'd have conversations with them in the grocery store behind your masks. You know, I mean, that's the kind of thing that a lot of people were doing. But there were some of us who were saying, this is good. There's good stuff going on here. How are we going to handle it from the point of view that it's actually good? Well, we get to spend more time with our families. We get to spend more time at home doing Zoom calls and, you know, StreamYard broadcasts and so forth. And that's the way I looked at it. I know that there were a lot of people who were really stressed. I could feel the stress. I mean, you went to the stores a year ago, April. It's like, oh God, they're like, you know, clouds of the thing hanging over people. But I got through that cloud pretty quickly. A lot of other people didn't. But I was kind of, it was almost like I was in my own world, except
you
for
are.
Here on the show, you know, because I was talking to like-minded people here on the show. But
yeah, you are.
Well, I guess kind of I am, yeah.
And
that's a good thing.
It's like Wayne's World. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And you can open the door and let some of those people in and maybe not let them all in. And yes, perfect.
But it illustrates the fact that we do have our own worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are you going to make of your own world? That was the choice we all had over the past year and continue to have, because, I mean, the thing still hasn't completely gone away. You know, so what is going to be your response? What's going to be my response? I decided pretty much from the beginning, except for a few days, you know, last April, when I was kind of overwhelmed like everybody else was, I just made the conscious decision. I'm not going to be that overwhelmed person anymore. I'm going to be the conscious creator that I know how to be, or that at least I'm learning how to be. And I'm going to keep doing it every day. I'm going to take advantage of the fact that I do this great podcast every day that gives me a nice lift every day, gives a whole bunch of other people a lift. I'm going to be changing my attention to things that other people weren't changing their attention to. And lo and behold, a whole bunch of other people started doing that too. Look how many positive videos started appearing on Facebook. Up until 2020, how many positive videos? Honestly, you could probably have counted them on two hands.
Right.
As soon as 2020 came, it was like all of a sudden the positive gods opened up the doors and said, okay, here's all the positive videos. Start watching them, everybody.
Well, it may be that all the other people use unsubscribe to, but,
well, there was that too. Yeah.
But nothing
wrong with setting boundaries. Let's just be perfectly clear about that.
Yeah, that's true. But I think that's what a lot of this is by being aware of what you really like and what you really want in your life, and what you want to co-create with the universe. This time period is a gift. It really is. And so being around other people that see it that way and co-creating with them is the way to go.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And you attract them, don't you? I mean, literally, when you put, when you set your attention to what you want to have happen, that's, you get like-minded people. That's the way the law of attraction works. Yeah. You stay focused there, you get more of them.
Well, the thing, the other thing that I just wanted to say, and then I'm going to have to go soon.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to say is that I think part of this whole period that I've experienced that's been different is watching when people are open to things and when they're closed.
Yes.
So, I mean, even in the Bible, it says, let them be like little children.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of today, you and I have been like little kids on this. I
mean, yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. Which and, is a good thing.
Yeah, but that's the difference when you're in wonder and you don't have it all figured out, and that and life may be entertaining because of that. Yeah. Thanks, Elaine.
Elaine's absolutely right. It absolutely is a gift.
Right. But the idea is to be open and curious and exploring. That kind of fun time, just like exploring what color to pull out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, yeah, this was kind of a weird combo, actually. But you know, when I look at it now, but at the time, it just made perfect.
Well, it spoke to you at that time. It said, this is the right color combination for where you are right now. And so it was. It had to be.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is that I'm noticing that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not just people's energy, whether they're high, you know, they're optimistic and doers. A lot of people have taken this, energy and put their, time into creating, just like
we
have videos, books. My company publishes books, and we're busy with publishing books right now because a lot of people have used this time. So rather than using the time to worry or watch conspiracy or all of that stuff.
Exactly.
That's not high vibe.
No, not even, well, they may think so, but I got news for them. You can go higher than that. You can go a lot higher than that.
Right. Which is the joy factor, the kid, being a kid, the Walt 100% club, you know that.
It's great stuff. It's exciting to know that, first of all, that we're in a community of people. It's an extended community across the planet who are like-minded, who are focusing on the same kind of mental approach, the mental mindset.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it just makes it easier to contribute when you have that knowledge that you're part of that community. It's harder. I go back to when I started the podcast. When I started the podcast, I had almost nobody in my life who was into this stuff. My wife was kind of starting to get into it. My brother and sister-in-law were kind of getting there. My sister to an extent, but that was about it. And I didn't have any friends or whatever. That's actually a tougher way to go. But once you get to the point where you've attracted a community around yourself, boy, oh boy, does that make it so much easier.
It's a party.
It is a party. It really is.
And that's what I think we're here to. I mean, you can live your life in joy. You just have to choose it.
Exactly.
And I don't think everyone got the memo.
We're going to have to do something about the memo department. They're just not getting the memos into everyone's hands. I mean,
no, it's in one of those yellow envelopes.
Yeah. That's it.
You have to sign off on.
I love it. Well, yeah. I know you got to go. So we're going to say thank you first of all for sitting in for Debbie. I know she appreciates it. She will be back. She's just dealing with a whole lot of stuff on her plate right now. But we really appreciate you sitting in at the last minute.
Sure.
And we'll be talking to you again real soon. So once again, thank you for joining us today. We really, really appreciate that.
Thank you, Walt.
And before we go today, I also want to, I want to read an email that came in from one of our listeners, another Debbie. This is Deborah. And she was writing in about the visit from the stream that we had on Tuesday, David Strickle, because you'll remember that's what that was one of the things that I attracted with the experiment that we did the previous Wednesday. So David appeared on Tuesday. It was a really good session. And Deborah wrote in to say it was so lovely to hear the stream and you reunited. And I agree, it was really nice. It was great to get to talk to David and to hear the stream because it's so much fun. She says it was like going back in time to when you used to interact every Tuesday. I agree. Except that I am now listening as a completely different person. Okay. She says, your show is definitely transforming lives. What could be more amazing than that? Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that. I've learned so much from all of the great contributors and from you personally, finally accepting to try mirror work. Good for you. Very good for you. I got to applaud you, Debbie, because not many people are willing to do that, but you're willing to do it. She says, because you spoke of it so often, it started a powerful process of transformation for me. And well, and you listened too, but thank you very much. And I'm glad that you did it. She says, your show then led me to the stream at first with deep skepticism on my part. I mean, who could possibly be better than Abraham? Yep. Well, I sympathetic. I understand. And then she says, but the more I listened, every single thing resonated. I'm now just over halfway through Taya boot camp. Well done. And all of the incredible transformative power of this work that I had initially doubted is making itself known to me. Very good. So I listen to the show as a new person. It's not exaggerating to say I feel reborn through this process. It is astonishingly powerful, and I'm experiencing levels of joy like never before. All right. So just wanted to say, as ever, thank you, Walt and team. I know your aim is to aid in raising both individual and collective consciousness and so transform lives. You have most certainly achieved that beyond measure for me, for which I am in such massive appreciation. And then she says, huh, so many words as always, but please know that they are deeply heartfelt. Deborah, trust me, I know they are deeply heartfelt. We love it. Love it so much. Thank you very much. I'm making sure that all of my co-hosts here on the show know about it. But I got to tell you, every time that we hear from a listener like you, especially when our listeners, and Deborah's email is a very good example of this. Our listeners don't just say, they don't send a note just say, hey, I love the show. They say they love the show and then give us five paragraphs on it. You know, it's almost like their teacher, their English teacher said, you know, write me an essay about this. They write an essay about it. And somehow that just like multiplies the amount of joy we feel when we receive them. So really very much, I appreciate you sending in that email, Deborah. And I want to encourage other people to do the same. Well, sure. Absolutely. Keep sending those emails to make me feel good. I like that. But also just send us your questions, send us comments, send us, you know, whatever your feedback is on any of the shows that we're doing as we're doing them, because we will include them in the upcoming episodes and we'll talk about them and we'll thank you for them and so forth. And it's your way to be a part of the conversation, particularly if you can't be like Elaine or Jeffrey or some of the others who are in the live stream listening to us live, because let's be honest, in today's world, that's not usually possible for most of us. So please take advantage and send it in. Probably the easiest way to do that is with the LOA Today app. And that's pretty much available on any platform. It's on all the Android phones, all the Android tablets. It's on the iPhone, the iPad. You can also get it for PCs and for Macs. The easiest way to get it, if you aren't sure how to find any of these, is just go to loatoday.com/listen, and it'll direct you to a page that'll be perfect for the device that you're trying to load it on. It'll also give you links to the various podcast app platforms, you know, like the Spotify's and iHeartRadios and Pandora's and so forth, where we're also listed. So you can check us out there as well. But take advantage of that, because one of the reasons that the LOA Today app exists is that it has a contact form. That's what I was trying to get to. It's an easy way to send us a message and make sure that our message gets included on the conversation here on the show. So, okay, well, we hope you all have a great weekend. Thank you to the live streamers for your contributions as we were talking about the vision boards and so forth. We really appreciate you. And I also want to take a moment just to say thank you to all of our listeners, especially those who have been with me for quite some time, for the last few years and so forth. Jeffrey, for instance, comes to mind as somebody who's been listening for a long time. I mean, I tell you guys, you helped me get through the hardest part of doing a podcast, the building of it. And now we're at the point where it's starting to really, really take off. So I have to give you guys a lot of credit and a lot of appreciation, a lot of joy in the fact that you were along for the ride. And I hope all of you stay with us on the ride as it continues, because it's going to get better and better. So thank you all very much. And you'll be seeing, of course, Louis and Amy on Monday. In the meantime, have a great weekend, and we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.